sends the message going forward, the United States of America is serious about enforcing its immigration laws.
We really needed to make sure that we had in statute exactly what the function, the purpose of our parks is.
The entirety of Florida education policy is wrapped around parental choice, and this is a parental choice.
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. Well, we now finally know where Florida lawmakers are going to be next week. It's not Tallahassee. With House and Senate budget leaders continuing to struggle to reach agreement on spending totals and tax breaks, lawmakers will not be meeting next week. The 60-day legislative session was scheduled to end tomorrow, but lawmakers have blown past a budget deadline to make that happen. House Speaker Daniel Perez, Republican of Miami, and Senate President Ben Albritton, Republican of Wauchula, also advised their members today that lawmakers will not be in Tallahassee next week. With Mother's Day on May 11th, that means the formal budget conference negotiating process won't happen until at least around the middle of the month. So it remained unclear today how the House and Senate would agree on coming back to pass a budget and possibly other legislation. A budget has to be wrapped up before the July 1st start of the 2025-2026 fiscal year. The Senate and the House have been swapping proposals on the budget and a linked tax cut package, but as of this afternoon, they had not announced agreement on an initial step, which is known as allocations. Those are overall dollar amounts for different areas of spending, such as education, health care, law enforcement, agriculture, and transportation. Once allocations are set, conference committees can negotiate details of the budget, and we'll let you know when that information comes out. State law enforcement and ICE have arrested more than 1,000 immigrants in Florida over the past month. Tristan Wood reports ICE officials and Governor Ron DeSantis were touting the efforts at a news conference today.
The collaboration, called Operation Tidal Wave, involved ICE officers and state law enforcement working together via 287G agreements. ICE Deputy Director Madison Shahan says the operation was one of the first of its kind under the Trump administration.
And together we are able to conduct over 1,100 arrests and remove several violent gang members from the communities here in Florida. Operation Tidal Wave is truly a first of its kind operation, utilizing 287G resources, integrating with the state and local law enforcement to assist in the day-to-day ICE mission. While this may be the first 287G operation of its kind, thanks to the governor, it's not going to be the last.
During the press conference, Governor Ron DeSantis said the agreements mark a shift in the country's attitude on immigration.
When you're dealing with people, millions and millions of people here illegally, you see some of these folks who have huge, huge problems in their background, with their conduct, and really put our communities at risk. It's important that the law is enforced. It's important that those people are taken care of. But what it also does is sends the message going forward, the United States of America is serious about enforcing its immigration laws.
Critics of the agreements, like Florida Immigrant Coalition Executive Director Tessa Pettit, say the agreements erode trust in police for immigrant communities.
When local police act like ICE, entire communities go silent. People stop calling 911. They stop reporting crimes. They pull their children out of school. They pull their children out of different programs.
During the presser, the governor also fielded questions about a federal judge's decision to issue an injunction on a state law passed earlier this year that makes it a misdemeanor to enter the state as an undocumented immigrant. The governor says he disagrees with that judge's ruling.
We actually feel confident that we'll ultimately be vindicated on that. It should be a crime to enter the state of Florida illegally. We have police power to be able to do that. That does not undercut or interfere with federal efforts. In fact, if anything, that buttresses federal efforts.
Critics of the enforcement efforts and Florida's new immigration law say they violate due process and will open the door for local and state law enforcement to racially profile residents. I'm Tristan Wood.
A bill intended to keep golf courses, resort-style lodges, and sports facilities from being built in state parks is headed to Governor Ron DeSantis. The House today unanimously passed the bill after the Senate made revisions and approved it yesterday. The bill would maintain conservation-based recreational uses at state parks while prohibiting types of development that drew outrage last summer in a Department of Environmental Protection proposal known as the Great Outdoors Initiative. State Senate Senator Gail Harrell filed the bill after the public outcry about the proposal, which called for golf courses, resort-style lodges, and pickleball courts at 10 state parks.
We really needed to make sure that we had in statute exactly what the function, the purpose of our parks is, and that we can make sure that we continue that.
The legislation says state parks should be managed in a manner that will provide the greatest combination of benefits to the public and to the land's natural resources. Finally tonight, Florida lawmakers want to boost charter schools. Bills that would make it easier to convert public schools to charter schools have flown through the Republican-dominated legislature this session. But Democrats worry that traditional public schools are losing funding as a result. Margie Menzel reports.
The Senate has approved a budget of roughly $9,000 per student per year. The money follows the students. It can go to private schools, charter schools, public schools, or homeschools. As more families take advantage of the state's school choice programs to send their kids to charter schools or private schools, traditional public schools are seeing fewer dollars, and some school districts say they're worried about paying their bills, especially in the wake of a law that 2 years ago removed income as a qualification for the state school voucher program and made private school affordable to many more Floridians.
So it's this constant eating away at the public schools. Take the money, give it to the vouchers. Take the schools, give it to the charters. And then what do we have left? And we cannot end up with public schools that are schools of last resort.
Andrew Sparr is the president of the Florida Education Association.
We need public schools, which are a vital part of our community, to be the vibrant meccas of learning that we expect and should expect for every child who lives in our community.
Now lawmakers are focused on expanding charter schools. Sparr says money is behind these decisions, not the education of children. He says charter schools are usually run by private businesses.
Now, they're not going to take the public schools that are difficult, that have a lot of challenges because maybe a lot of kids live in poverty or they have a lot of students with disability. They're going to try to take the schools that are in the affluent community. They want to take those schools, the posh schools, if you will, right? And they want to run those schools, and they want to make money off of it.
But Niceville Republican Senator Don Gates, a former school superintendent, says school choice is about parental choice. He has a bill this session that could expand charter schools in Florida.
This bill allows parents to opt to convert their children's school to be a charter school, and it also allows local governments to establish job engine charter schools as part of an economic development and job growth strategy, and requires accountability for specific performance for those schools.
The bill takes away the power for teachers to vote to convert to a public school and gives that to parents instead. While some have pushed against that idea, Gates says it makes sense.
The bill allows parents to opt to convert their children's school to be a charter school. The entirety of Florida education policy is wrapped around parental choice, and this is a parental choice.
Coral Gables Republican Representative Demi Busada is behind a bill that would expand charter schools that are dubbed Schools of Hope. They are schools that open in low-performing school districts and are intended to give children there another option. Some worry that such schools could cherry-pick their students, allowing them to perform better than the nearby traditional public school. But Busada says that's not happening.
And it is not a slow death to public education. Let's get something right. Schools of Hope are public schools. The education that they provide, it is public education.
Weston Democratic Representative Robin Bartleman, an educator, acknowledges there are failing public schools and that the Schools of Hope proposal is intended to address them. But she says the problem is that charter schools don't have to operate with the same requirements as public schools.
The issue I have is that billions of dollars of taxpayer money is going, following students to schools where we have no idea if they are failing those students, that we have no idea if those students are learning to read. We have anecdotal evidence when they return years behind.
As the legislative session comes to a close, a number of charter school bills are poised to head to the desk of Governor Ron DeSantis, a supporter. I'm Margie Menzel.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. This is our final Capitol Report, the podcast edition for the 2025 Florida lawmaking session. Next week, we're back to our weekly combined online and on-air version of Capitol Report. That half-hour broadcast is available on several Florida public radio stations. And each Friday's podcast version is always there by 6:30 p.m. that day from wherever you get your podcasts. Technical assistance comes from Taylor Cox, and I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.